Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening. This is April 21st. It's Sunday evening, 7 p.m. We're here on New Visions Radio every week, and that's Eastern time.
I see this. Yes.
I have to always remember that. And springtime has just been beautiful here in Virginia.
It just got warm out. I was up on the parkway yesterday.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was 90 degrees up on the mountain.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I love the heat. You know, yeah. I love that weather. I actually took my sweatshirt off yesterday.
Oh, wow. You must have gotten warm.
It did. It was so nice. It's just beautiful, beautiful time of year.
Yeah, everything's starting to come out. The dogwoods are starting to come out. We're a little bit later because we're in the valley than on the eastern part of Virginia. But I was out in the woods. The trilliums are coming out. I saw some really dark red ones and then some white ones and a mixture of kind of purplish white.
What are they?
Trilliums.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a flower that comes out in the woods. It's fairly good size. It's kind of a little bit like a tulip, but it's got pointed petals on it.
Okay.
It's just very beautiful.
Yeah.
The May apples were coming out. Yeah, just all kinds of stuff.
I know my dogwoods are starting to blossom. Yeah. It's just, what a beautiful time of year. And, you know, in spite of the sinful nature of this earth, the fact that the ground was cursed, beautiful things still come up.
Yeah.
You know, God is so good.
I love going out in the woods, going hiking, taking photographs, and maybe I should say this, getting away from people.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, we spend a lot of time, you know, around people, and I love it. I love being around people, but, you know, Sabbath is a great time to have that downtime, you know, after church and doing those things. But, you know, that's just a little bit about us and what we do from time to time, you know, getting out into nature and enjoying it. So, friends, we want to welcome you here to Bible Answers, and we're here each and every week where we open the Word of God, and we want to encourage you to open your Bibles and read along with us, particularly today, this evening, because we're going to be reading almost a whole chapter in one of the Gospels. And Ed and I talked about this just before we came on the air. We had talked about what we were going to discuss. So, you know, before we get started, just a couple of things. We're grateful to Ray Powers for giving us this platform to be able to do this each and every week. He keeps us on the air, and, you know, he does a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, you know, just like with everything.
Right.
You know, whoever you are, whatever job you do, there's more to your job than people outside recognize. So Ray does a lot of things for Prophecies of Hope and all of the other broadcasters, and we're grateful for that. And Ed, just tell us a little bit about this little ministry that we're a part of.
Yes, we're in, our ministry is called Prophecies of Hope. We're in Stanton, Virginia, which is in the Shenandoah Valley, a beautiful place if you ever want to go on vacation someplace. And we're just a little ministry, a little church here on West Beverly Street. We have services on Wednesday evening, which is a Bible study / prayer time, and that's available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have services on Saturday or the Sabbath, where we have a Bible study at 9:30, available via Zoom or live stream. And we have our church worship hour available via live stream. And then Rick and Mary have a kind of a testimony time, prayer time on Monday evenings, every other Monday evening at 7.
And so if you'd like that information, if people want to contact you, Ed, what email would they use?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com, or a general email to office at prophecyhope.com.
Right. Our website and our emails are prophecyhope.com, even though the name of our ministry is Prophecies of Hope.
Right. We couldn't get that particular domain, so we had to go with Prophecy, P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y, hope.com. And so, you know, you mentioned just a moment ago about this area being such a beautiful place.
Yes.
I might be biased, but to me, you know, I've been quite a few places in my life. This is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, if you like blue water, this isn't the place for you, you know, because there's no natural other than the ocean coming up to the Virginia Beach area, but that's 200 miles.
Yeah, there's a few lakes. There's one close to a Shenandoah Lake, and there's Lake Anna, Smith Mountain Lake, but these are all man-made lakes.
They are. You know, Rick told me that there are no natural lakes in Virginia. I didn't realize that. So, but that's just a little bit about the area where we live, and if you're ever in the area, please stop and visit. We would love to have you. And I think that's all the business that we have today, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we start this study with a word of prayer, Ed? Would you do that?
Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for everything you give us in our life, the blessings of your creation around us that we can interact with and enjoy the beauty of, the gift of your word to have an understanding of who you are and who your son is, and the love that you have for us, and the promises of your word, and the gift of salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Father, as we study these words on the page today, may you give us wisdom and understanding. May we be able to apply them to our lives, and may you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So, Ed, where were we going to start? You had some things you wanted to share.
The other day I was studying, in my personal study, in Luke chapter 8, and I thought this was pretty interesting, starting in verse 21. It's almost like a day in the life of Jesus.
That's nice, yeah.
And so I'm going to be reading maybe four verses.
Okay.
Talking about this day, what happened with Jesus and his disciples in Luke 8, starting with verse 22. And this is the Modern King James Version. And it happened on a certain day that he went into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." And they put out to sea. This is the Lake of Galilee, or sometimes called the Sea of Galilee.
Okay.
But as they sailed, he fell asleep, talking about Jesus. And a storm of wind came into the lake, and they were being filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awakened him and said, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Hmm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And being afraid, they marveled, and saying to one another, "Who is this one? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Could you imagine being there?
No, I would have been just like them, I'm afraid.
Of course.
Thinking, you're going to die.
Yeah.
The boat's going down. We're being filled with water. There's nothing we can do about it. The storm, this windstorm has come up on the lake.
And, you know, I find it interesting that Jesus was asleep.
Yes, he was sleeping through it.
You know, but he was so busy in ministry, you know.
He
needed rest.
He would spend full nights in prayer to his father.
So there, he had to have rest at some point.
Right.
So he must have been sleeping pretty deep. I mean, to be doing that.
And or he had perfect trust in his father.
It could have been that, yeah. You know, there's nothing for me to worry about.
Right.
So this...
So this was the beginning of their day.
Not a good start.
Well, it depends how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, from a point of view of being scared, you know.
Yeah.
You start your day off that way sometimes.
But from the point of view of learning to trust in Jesus.
And maybe they really got a glimpse as to when they said, "Who is this?
Yeah.
That he can command the wind and the water, and they obey him."
Right. Okay, Mark, can you read the next section of verses? I have 26 through 39.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, that looks right. So here we go. I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Okay.
It says, beginning in verse 26, Luke chapter 8, "Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out onto the land, there met him a certain man from a city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Son of the Most High God, I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him and was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is your name?' And he said, legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would not permit them to enter, that he would permit them to enter them. Sorry, that changes the whole meaning. Let me read that again. So they begged him, that is, they begged Jesus, that he would permit them to enter them, that is, the swine, and he permitted them. And the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him.
So here we have Jesus and his disciples deciding to go on the other side of the lake for that day. Mm-hmm. And they had this encounter with this huge storm that the disciples had fear for their lives. And Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. So now they get to the other shore, and they step on the shore, and there's this wild man out of control.
Yeah. Who, like an animal.
Men cannot contain him. He breaks chains. He breaks fetters.
Could you imagine that? That would be scary.
That would be scary, yeah.
I mean, I've never witnessed anything like that, but that would terrify me.
This man is demon-possessed. And it's interesting in that verse 28 that the demons cry out, Jesus, Son of God of the Most High, I beseech you, do not torment me.
Yeah. Mine says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? So these demons knew who Jesus was.
Yeah, they know he's the Son of God.
They understood that.
Yeah. You know, and then it talks about Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Mm-hmm. That means these evil spirits, these demons, were in the man.
That's right. It shows me a couple of things, because in my lifetime I'd never really considered these things until I really started studying the Bible. We have learned through our studies that the hope of glory is what, Ed?
Is Jesus in us, Christ,
yeah, Christ in
us.
You, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. So if the Spirit of Christ can be in me, if I can have Christ in me, if I choose not to have Christ, what does that do? That opens the door.
Yeah, there's an open house.
Yeah, and what happens?
There's room for dwelling of an evil spirit.
See, and in my upbringing, I was never raised to believe that. But this is what the Bible, this is what these verses are telling us.
Right.
That he was possessed by the demon.
And it says that when Jesus asked them, what is your name? And he said, legion, because many demons had entered him.
Yes. It doesn't say that they were in union with him or anything mm-hmm. like that. It says they entered him. So he was possessed. If you take possession of a house, what does that mean?
That means you go
inside. Move in,
yeah.
Right? So if a demon takes possession of you, they move in. And the other thing that this, when I read this, it also shows me when I read this account, just in these verses that we're in right here, that these demons are subject to Jesus.
Yes.
They're subject to him.
Yeah. They begged him not to send them into the deep. In one Bible I saw it said into the abyss.
Yes, that's what it says here in my translation.
Yeah. And so they wanted to be sent into the pigs that were apparently nearby.
There's a couple of problems with that for me.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, when we look at swine, how does the Bible identify them?
They're considered unclean animals.
Yeah, because they clean the garbage up.
Yeah, they're garbage
eaters.
They
eat the garbage.
Yeah.
So here are these demons who are really, they're unclean spirits,
right?
They must have some kind of a twisted mentality to where they wanted to go into these unclean animals.
Right.
So, and first of all, what were those unclean animals doing there? That's
right.
Another question.
Yeah, I don't know what the community was, but if it was of Jewish people that were doing this, that was against their law.
Absolutely.
They weren't supposed to have anything to do with swine.
Yeah, that was against the law of God.
Yeah.
That God gave them. So, anyway, there's a lot there, isn't it?
Yeah, so you notice what happens that Jesus gave them permission to go into the pigs, and what did they do? They caused the pigs to go into the lake or into the Sea of Galilee and drown and die.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do to us, too.
You know, that's a great point. They want us to become unclean by rejecting Christ, and without Christ, what happens?
We die.
We die.
The wages of sin is death.
Wow. You know, that's a powerful message. Christ in you. This is the importance of having Christ in us.
Yes.
And not someone else.
Yes.
Not another person.
Right.
Right?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. Only the Son of God.
You know, let's just keep your finger in your Bible, but let's go to Galatians 4 real quick. And I want to read verses 4 through 7.
All right.
We probably read these things frequently, but it's important to keep this in mind.
Absolutely.
Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under the law, that he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Mm. So that you're no longer a slave, but a son, and a son also an heir of God through Christ. So God wants to give us victory over sin in our lives, so we're no longer a slave to sin. And as part of that, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Crying for that relationship with God, the Father of Jesus Christ.
So it's by accepting Christ that we become sons of God.
Yes.
And that means that anyone who accepts Christ can become a son or daughter of God, right?
Yes.
It's not for an elect group. It's not for a certain number of people.
No, not for a certain heritage.
Right. It's for those who accept Jesus Christ. And those who don't, they're not sons of God.
Right.
So, you know, this is something that today there's a lot of misleading information. People think that people of a certain heritage or a certain bloodline or a certain nation, that they are God's chosen people. At one time, they were his favored people.
Right.
But that has since changed.
Right.
And now there have always been people that served God even that weren't of that nation.
Right.
But the beauty of it is God always made a provision for them. He's always tried to save people, not destroy them.
Right. Right. Well, you can go back to the story here. After the pigs went to the lake or drowned, some of the people that had been there, maybe the people that were in charge of the pigs, went into the country and the neighborhood and told everybody what had happened. And, you know, everybody came to Jesus to see what had been done. And they saw this man who had been out of control, who had been controlled by demons, who had broken chains and fetters, and no one could keep him, you know, to act normally and clothed and in his right mind.
Right.
And they were afraid. I would have been afraid of the man in his other condition.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I read that, I thought that, why would I be afraid if he's sitting at the feet of Jesus?
Yeah.
He's clothed. He's calm, obviously.
Right.
So
why would that make you afraid?
I don't know.
That's and then they question. Asked him to leave, depart from us.
Wow. You know, is this kind of our nature, though, as sinful people, that, you know, we look at somebody, we know what their lifestyle was, and then we see them doing something right, and we say, oh, no, I know that guy. That's not who he really is.
I don't know, Mark. I don't know how long this man had been like this, but I'm sure everybody in the area knew who he was.
Oh, I'm sure. It doesn't tell us. I think it says for a long time. I don't think it says an actual timeline.
And no one up to that point had been able to help him.
Right.
Only Jesus could help him.
Yeah.
And he cast out the demons out of him, and now he was sitting there. And I don't know if the combination of I'm sure they had great investments in that herd of pigs.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was a source of income for
whoever it
maybe
was.
Maybe many people. I don't know how many people were involved in this. And maybe that in itself may have caused them to ask Jesus to leave.
Hmm.
What else would he do to their way of living, even though what they were doing was not right according to the law of God?
Hmm.
But then, you know, it talks about, and Jesus entering the boat, he returned to, I assume, the other side of the lake where he had come from.
Yeah, I think so.
I want to read Luke 8, verse 40.
Okay. Before you do that,
okay.
Verse 38, the man from whom the demons had departed begged him, that's Jesus, that he might be with him.
Right.
But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you.
And what did he do?
He went back and told them.
Proclaimed throughout all the city
what
great things Jesus had done for him.
That's awesome. Yeah. Isn't that what we should be doing?
Amen.
You know, look, just whoever is listening to this, Ed, I know that in my life, I know what God has done for me. And I'm sure he's done things that I don't even know.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But the things that I'm aware of, I can't keep quiet about them.
Yeah.
And that's, this man was in much worse circumstances than I've ever been in.
Right.
You know, I don't know that, as far as I know, I have never been possessed by a demon, and I hope I never am.
Yeah.
I never want to give that room. I never want to open that door. But here, he just went and proclaimed the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He was proclaiming Jesus Christ to everyone that he knew.
So in Luke 8, verse 40, and it happened when Jesus had returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him.
Hmm.
You know, when I read this the other day in my personal study, I couldn't help thinking about the contrast between the people who saw the good that Jesus did for this man by casting out these demons. Jesus totally changed his life.
Yes.
And they were afraid, and they asked Jesus to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have a people that gladly received Jesus. They were waiting for him to return.
Hmm. Waiting for him to return.
What about today?
That's a great question.
Will I be glad when Jesus returns? Am I waiting for him to return? Will I be happy? Is that something I'm looking forward to?
Hmm. You know, that's a thing that I think most Christians would say, yes, I'm waiting for him to return. The question that maybe we should be asking ourselves is, am I ready for him to return?
Really, that's really what it comes down to.
Am I ready? And, you know, we might be waiting. We might be waiting for him to return, and we want him to return. But what if he returned right now? Do you want him to return right now, right this minute? And I think a lot of people would say, well, I have some affairs. I might need to get in order.
Right.
Right?
Now is the time.
Now is the day of salvation,
yeah.
Right? And so this is a powerful point you're bringing up, Ed.
You know, that reminds me, you're talking about being ready. Can we go to Matthew chapter 25?
Sure.
And here we have the parable of the 10 virgins.
Hmm.
And Mark, could you read verses 1 through 13?
Sure. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Jesus is actually speaking in all of these verses here.
Yes.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him." Coming, go out to meet him. Let me read that again. I'm having trouble today. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
So we have the story of these 10 women. They all have a lamp. What do you think this lamp represents?
Well, Jesus represents light, right? Jesus is the light of the world.
If we go to Psalms 119, and let me read verse 105.
Okay. Psalm 119,
105. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Hmm. So we have the written word.
Yes.
And we have Jesus who is the word.
And Jesus only spoke the words that his Father gave him to speak.
That's right.
And so when we look at this parable, the 10 virgins, their lamps represents the Word of God.
Okay.
The knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of who God and His Son is.
That's beautiful.
And they have this. Now, the oil, what do you think that represents?
Well, you know, it says here, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. It seems that oil keeps the lamps bright.
Right.
Right?
Maybe it gives you knowledge and understanding of what that word
is. Okay, that makes sense.
What is Jesus saying in John 16? "I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Not just some.
Right.
Right.
Who is the way and the truth and life?
John 14:6, Jesus says that he says, speaking of himself, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life.
We had just read that God will send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts,
crying
Abba, Father.
Hmm.
So Christ gives us understanding of the plan of salvation,
sure,
of the gospel. And notice that they weren't expecting a delay, but some had prepared. Some had brought extra oil.
Hmm.
They had, you know, maybe they had continued to study the Word of God. Maybe they had more knowledge because of this extra oil they had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes on to say that, you know, there was delay and they were all sleeping. And all of a sudden they heard the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him." By that time, everyone's lamp had gone out.
Yeah.
Hmm. All the oil in the lamp was used up.
Because he had come.
Well, they had been sleeping for a time, and
so
during that time, their oil was used up in the lamp.
Okay, I got you.
And now that he's here, they heard the cry that the bridegroom is here. They didn't have any. They had to light their lamps again, but only five of them had oil.
Hmm.
The other five didn't have any oil. And they asked the foolish ones asked the wise one, "Sell us some of your oil." And the wise one says, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they who were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut.
Hmm.
No one else was going to enter in.
So once you're in and the door is shut, Nobody's coming in after that.
Five were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Five had extra oil.
Right.
And they were able to be ready when the bridegroom came.
Which, that goes back to that question, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Do you take time in the Word of God, the Bible?
Mm.
Do you pray for the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth, to give you understanding? Have you allowed what the Bible says? Have you allowed those things to be incorporated into your own life, into your own understanding? Have you accepted Christ as the only source of salvation?
Yeah, it's so important.
Have you been baptized into Jesus Christ?
Mm.
To lay down that sin in your life, to die to sin, as Romans 6 would say, and to be raised up into a new life with Christ Jesus.
Mm.
You're not going to find these things in the world.
No.
In fact, the world's going to tell you the opposite, that you don't need Jesus, that just go out and enjoy life.
Right.
You know?
You know, it takes prayer and study to learn who Jesus is and who
yes.
his Father is. And, you know, that it's funny. I say it's funny. It's funny, but it's also fun, and it's not funny because we do a song on Sabbath sometimes and in fellowship, give me oil in my lamp.
Right.
Keep it burning.
Keep it burning. Yeah.
Right? Keep it burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray.
Give me more right? of Christ.
Yeah.
Give me more of Jesus.
Yeah. He's the only way to the Father. So this midnight cry, what is this midnight cry that it talks about?
You know, This you're asking a really deep
okay.
question that I've just this last week have beginning to have an understanding of.
Okay,
that.
Well maybe we can talk about that another week.
Yeah, another time would be good. Can we go to Matthew 24?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. It's right before where we are now.
Yes. And Mark, can you start reading in verse 3?
Sure.
And I don't know where to tell you to end.
You just stop me.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we just start in verse 3, and we'll just keep reading.
All right. Here we go. This is Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3. Now, as he, that's Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?"
So, if you're interested in being ready for Christ to return, Take notice of what this chapter is saying.
Yeah, he's giving you the warning, isn't he? It says in verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come."
All right, so here's some warnings here. It says, take heed that no man deceive you.
Hmm. That's
how can you keep, what can you do to keep from being deceived?
We have to stop listening to what people are saying and get in the Word of God and prove what it says.
Right. So, you know, I don't know how many preachers there are on TV, on the internet, on YouTube, and whatever means of communication that are out there.
It's a great number.
They all tend to say different things.
They do.
So how do you know who is saying or telling you the truth? Who's preaching the truth? How do you know?
The only way you can know is to know what your Bible says. In fact, I have to share this. Rick is having a Bible study with someone who actually came to his house, and the person said, well, you have more Bible knowledge than I do. And he says, well, why is that?
Yeah.
How can you be out here teaching people if you don't really know what you believe? How do you know that your church is not telling you something wrong?
Right.
You know, how can I be like Paul said the Bereans should be? How can I do that if I'm not opening God's word?
Yeah, what they did when Paul and Silas were preaching to the people of Berea, they would daily open the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas were teaching was the truth.
And that's the only way you will not be deceived.
Right.
That's the only way.
You know, there are very charismatic people out there that
sure.
are very attractive. People, they draw people to themselves. They have a great way of speaking. They flow with positive message, you know.
Right.
But how do you know that they're telling you the truth? I've had people say, oh, my preacher wouldn't deceive me.
Yeah.
Well, maybe your preacher's deceived.
Yeah. And how would you know if he is or isn't if you're not studying for
right.
yourself? You know?
Right.
It's amazing to me that, you know, in this world that we live in, things are going so bad. I mean, some of these things that we're reading here, we see happening,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Right here in these warnings that Jesus is giving. But because things are so negative, it seems like the majority of people will latch on to whatever feels good or sounds good.
Right.
There's danger in that. There's danger in that. Make sure that the things that you are learning are true.
I look at verse 5 of Matthew 24. It says, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many.
Yeah,
that's been happening for a while.
In our lifetime,
yes.
that has happened a number of times.
You may not be aware of it, but there are people out there that claim to be the Christ,
yeah.
the Messiah.
I was talking with someone just a couple of days ago, and they were telling me that they know this particular person that says, well, I'm actually an earth angel.
Wow.
And I'm here to protect this particular, they lived in a certain state, this particular state, that's why I've been sent. And, you know, where do you get this from?
Wow. Yeah.
So I asked that person, does the Bible use the term earth angel?
Huh.
Does it say that an earth angel? I said, you know, the angels that were cast to the earth are not good angels.
No, they don't have your best interest at mind.
Right. And so that really made the person think. And I don't know if they're going to address the other person or not, but
right.
it's amazing.
Even today in the nation of Israel, you know, Israel is in the news a lot today because of the wars that are going
right.
on over there. There's a man, a Jewish man there, that I don't know if he claims to be the Messiah or not, but many people are wondering, is it possible that this man is the Messiah? Because the Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ is
right.
the Son of God, let alone the Messiah, the
sure.
Christ.
Yeah.
And so they're still looking for
They're still waiting for a Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, which raises a question, and this is something that I often like to ask for those who believe that Israel is the chosen nation, which we know that they're not. But I always say, if they're still waiting for the Messiah, why are they not sacrificing?
That is getting ready to happen.
Well, that's what I've heard.
Yes.
That they want to rebuild a temple. And
my understanding is it would have happened already, or maybe it was planned for, what, April 22, the Passover? But because
okay.
of all the wars,
yeah.
it's delayed that. The plan has been in place for a little while now.
I see.
From what I've read on the internet, and of course, you can always believe everything you read on the internet, right?
Of course, everything. Abraham Lincoln said you can believe everything on the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
I read that on the
I've
internet.
I've seen that quote, yeah, on YouTube.
You know, there's so much, when Jesus starts, this is how he started what he was saying here.
And don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived. It's so easy to be deceived. We see it, and because somebody is convincing, I always worry about that, Ed, because I enjoy public speaking, and I tell people, don't follow me. Follow the words on the page.
Right. You know, again, today, the very day we're living in, people are claiming that Christ is going to come again mm-hmm. in 2028. and they have their scriptural background and all these ideas of why they think this. But what does Matthew 24 say about that idea that we can know when Christ is coming?
Well, I mean, we're reading it right here.
Yeah.
It gives us all of the warnings. Many will be offended. Let's see, I'm looking for the verse. Well, I'm scanning right now.
36.
Oh, verse 36. So that's way ahead of where we were. Yeah, but that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
So yeah. It says here in the Bible, this is Jesus' words. This is Jesus speaking. But of that day and hour, the day when Christ is going to return, mm-hmm. no one knows. No, not the angels of heaven, but only my Father. Jesus doesn't even know.
Yeah. You know, so how can somebody say this is the year, this is the, and sometimes I'll say it, well, it doesn't say year.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you know the history of the Christian church, you know, many people have prophesied or thought they know when Christ was going to return again.
Yes. I come from a background where they thought they knew when the end of this world was coming.
I do too, and we come from different backgrounds.
And even during one of the Bible series that we did, I think the first year that we did a Bible series in 2012, there was a man that was claiming that the end of the world was coming that year.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of publicity. And I really, you know, in a way, I felt bad for the man because I thought he's not studying his Bible. He's missed verse 36 of Matthew 25.
You know, oftentimes somebody will bring that to our attention, but it doesn't fit our narrative. It doesn't fit our agenda, so we just ignore it like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that's what many people do. You've studied the Bible with many people, Mark.
Yes.
You know, if they don't want to believe it, they'll just ignore it.
Right. You're right. Sometimes they will try to persuade you to believe what they believe. But if we stick to the Word of God, that's the thing. If you just read the words on the page, Ed, how many times have you said that?
Let's read some of the words in Matthew 24, the words on the page.
Okay, sure.
I want to read verses 23 through 28.
Okay.
And this is the King James. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Hmm. So this is telling us, you know, these false Christs, false prophets are going to be able to perform great things.
Yeah.
Don't let that deceive you.
Sure. And you notice verse 23 where it says, if anyone says, you look, here is the Christ or there, don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to throw this out there. I was raised in a church that taught that Jesus came back at a specific time in the 20th century.
So Jesus has already returned.
But they say it was invisibly.
Yeah.
But this account goes on to even refute that.
Right. Let's continue reading verse 25. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in his secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Mm.
Have you ever heard of the phrase, a secret rapture?
Yes, I have heard that. We've done a couple of lectures on that.
According to this, it says, do not believe it.
Right.
Verse 26, behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. Why? Because for as lightning comes out of the east and shineth onto the west, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. Everyone's going to see it.
Yes.
Everyone that's alive on this earth
will
see it.
And, you know, don't allow people to be able to take and distort what the Bible says. Believe these words. They're on the page. This is what it says. Because, you know, I was taught that in my upbringing, that he came invisibly, like I told you a moment ago.
Right.
And what's this say? If it says he's in his secret rooms, in other words, he's there, but you can't see him.
Right.
and don't believe it. And I did. I believed it all of my life until I studied my Bible.
Right. You know, Mark, did you write these things?
No.
Have we rearranged the words on the page? Have we gotten out our biblical gymnastic team and and rearranged things according to what we want it to say?
No, we're simply reading what's here.
Yes.
And when it says, as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, like you said, every eye will see it.
Yes.
Everyone will see it. And, you know, we have a friend and a brother named Roy. He always says, keep looking up.
Yes.
Keep looking up. And you know, that's really what this is saying. If people are saying that he's here or there, don't believe it. He's coming from the sky. He's right. Coming in the clouds. And we're told that.
Can you start in verse 36 of Matthew 24?
Sure.
And read for a little bit.
Sure. You just stop me where you want to stop. It says, here it is again. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That's pretty clear. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming.
Go ahead and stop there. So these verses that you read, first of all it says, but the day and the hour knoweth no man, only my Father in heaven. Then it talks about, as the day of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man.
Yes.
The days of Noah, I think Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the state of the of humanity is that they were continually thinking and doing evil only.
All of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
That was all that was on their mind were evil things.
And so in the last days before Christ come, it will be the same way. Now, I'll just ask you, look around you in the world. Mm. What do you see happening? I'll let you determine that for yourself.
Yeah. And look, we have to be honest about this, because since Christ returned to the heavens, mankind has been waiting for his return.
Yes.
But he's giving us these composite signs to look at and be able to identify, for lack of a better word, the season, so to speak. And I'm not talking winter, spring, summer, or fall. I'm talking about the world conditions. And let's face it, people in the Middle Ages probably thought he's got to come soon.
Right.
People during the Civil War, he's got to come soon.
World War II.
World War I, World War II, the Korean War, all of these things. People thought and so we have to have, I think this is to allow us to have a sense of urgency. Now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off, friends.
You know what, Mark? If Christ does not come in the clouds, like the lightning shines from the east to the west, we still have a moment in our lives where we take our last breath.
That's right.
And then our ability to change our mind, change our decision, change our desire to be in Christ or Christ in us, that's gone.
It takes us back to the five foolish virgins when the door was shut.
Yeah.
Right? When I take my last breath, the door is shut.
Yes.
So I better be right with the Lord the day I take my last breath.
Right.
And we don't know when that is.
No, we don't.
We don't know.
Matthew 24, 40 and 41 and 42. Can you read those verses again for us, please?
Let's see, 24, 40 and...
through 42.
Okay. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming.
So people use these verses here to justify their belief in, quote, the secret rapture, that Christ is going to come secretly, and that all of a sudden the pilot flying, the airplane's going to be gone, his clothes are going to be there in the seat, and all this wild stuff. And people believe this stuff.
They do.
And they use these two verses here Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get a good understanding of what these verses are talking about by going to Luke 17.
Okay.
And Mark, let's just use the same Bible, and let's read verses 34 through 37.
Okay. Luke 17, beginning in verse 34. It says, I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together.
All right, so here we have this, the same account.
Mm-hmm.
A few different words, but the same idea. One will be taken, the other will be left. So the disciples who he's talking to, he's asking them, Where, Lord? Who are they asking about, the ones that are taken or the ones that are left?
Well, if they're here, they know where they're going to be left.
If there's two in bed and one is taken and the other one left, we know that one is still in bed.
Right.
Two will be grinding together, one will be taken, the other left. We know that one's still grinding and
right.
The other one's been taken. Two shall be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. We know that one is left in the field. So who are they asking about?
They're asking about where will they be taken.
Where are the ones that are taken? What's the answer?
They're destroyed.
Where their body is, the eagles will gather together. The birds will be feeding on their bodies.
You know, and
do you want to be taken or do you want to be left?
Yeah, I want to be left.
Yes,
I want to be left.
And yet we have this huge, for lack of a better word, theological doctrine that's out there, that there's this idea of the secret rapture, and that all of a sudden Christ will come secretly and people will disappear and their clothes will be left. They'll be driving down the road and all of a sudden they're gone out of the car and the car's out of control and,
right.
and all kinds
There's
of stuff like this.
There's been movies made about it, books written. And, you know, Ed, in the very...
Read the words on the page.
That's it. So in that very verses that you just had me read there in Luke, it tells you where they are taken. They're taken to destruction. So if you're taken, that means you're destroyed. And... It seems like you have something. In the context of this, we're just about out of time. We have about 3 minutes. In the context, it compares this to Noah's day, right?
Yes.
Did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 4.
Okay, and we can continue this next week. But
1 Thessalonians 4, I'm sorry.
1 Thessalonians, okay.
Let me just read this quickly, this again in the King James. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Talking about those who have died who are in the grave,
right.
being asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you, unto the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain... And remain. Not the ones that are taken.
The ones that are left.
We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
So those who remain are not taken,
right?
And in the same context, I'll just read this in Genesis chapter 7. I'm sorry, right at the very end of the chapter,
okay?
Because this is the context that Jesus set up for us. It says, so verse 23, so he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air, and they were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive.
And the door was shut.
That's right.
No one could enter in after the door was shut. The flood didn't come until 7 days. The rain didn't come until 7 days later.
That's correct. And nobody was getting on or off of that boat once God sealed the door. You know, what a beautiful study. You know, and friends, this is to encourage you.
To keep you from being deceived.
Yes, and to encourage you to read your Bible. Open it up. And, you know, please don't just hear us speaking.
Right.
Open it up and look at it. Get an app on your phone, download it, and read those words as we're reading them. Because sometimes we've been reading and I've said, I've never seen that word before.
Right.
How did I miss that? Yeah. Hasn't that, that's happened to us while we were studying it.
Yeah.
And so that can happen to you. You can look and say, oh, wow, I'm seeing this, but they didn't cover that. Send us an email and let's talk about it. Let's get it out here so we can discuss it and learn together.
Right.
So we have about a minute, Ed. Was there any final thought that you had on this topic?
Yeah, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3.
Okay.
I'm going to read verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and basically telling us that God created the earth.
Yeah.
Going on to verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm-hmm. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
There it is. We don't know when it's going to happen.
Right, but be ready.
Be ready. Friends, if there's nothing else you take from this, pray about it. Ask Jesus to come into your heart.
Yes.
Pray to our Heavenly Father to send the Spirit of His Son into your heart that can help you to make those changes.
Jesus can give you victory in your life.
Amen. Today.
Yes.
Today, right now, at this very moment. So that's all the time we have for this week, Ed. That went by so fast. So let's go ahead and have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing to be able to open your word and just see the words on the page and see the promises that you have made. Father, may we take heed to this counsel in your word, the Bible, and not be deceived. May we continue to study and learn and recognize that you want to save each and every person. And may we reach out to others as individuals and help them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ and know the truth of your word. Father, please be with us until we come together again. It's certainly a blessing to be alive and to know you and your Son, Jesus. We thank you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for the study, and I look forward to picking up again next week.
Yeah.
And friends, we'll be right here on New Visions Radio, Lord willing, next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.